Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Leslie Rohde.
And I'm Judy Maggio. Welcome to Texas Conference for Women News. Topping today's news, the brave new world of the media.
The landscape for local television news has seen tremendous change in the last 5 to 10 years. Getting your message to the right people in the right way has never been more challenging.
Just ahead, a reality check and a revealing look at decision-making in the newsroom of 2015.
Okay, I hope we have a 2-minute commercial break at least, because I have got to talk to you about something. Workload is getting the best of
me.
They expect me to help write for the 10 o'clock tonight, but that's after I have a public appearance in between the newscast and two more stories for the web. What are they thinking? Oh, and don't forget, we have to tweet at least 5 times a day.
I am so with you, sister. I mean, the tweets and the posts can wait. I need to unload.
Okay.
At least you don't have to shoot and edit your own story tonight.
Oh,
I mean, I just got versed on Final Cut, and I don't even know how to do digital editing. I cannot believe they expect us to do everything and still look poised and polished when the camera light turns on.
Yeah, they think that happens in about 5 minutes. Speaking of, have you had to work with the image consultant yet? That image consultant again. They want to change me again. Hair extensions. I mean, seriously.
I can't stand that woman. She told me that I needed a more supportive bra.
Seriously.
We'll talk more. Oh, we're about on. Oh. 5 seconds left.
And welcome back. Today, a deep investigation to reveal the truth about decision-making in newsrooms today.
The key? Changing your mindset about how you actually attract media attention.
And that supportive bra was just to get your attention.
No, that really happened to me.
Whose microphone is it? Is it mine?
You hear that? Yeah, are we echoing, guys? A little bit?
We're echoing too.
Does my bra look supportive?
Yes. Do you like me without hair extensions?
You got it?
That was really just a lot of fun, and thanks for letting us do that. You know, we got to go back in time a little bit here, back to our news desks. We were news anchors here in Austin for many, many years, and we hope that that kind of set the stage to help you understand what a reporter's life and an anchor's life is really like today. You know, the title of our presentation today is Navigating the Brave New World of Media, Strategies for Getting Your Message Out Through Traditional and New Media. We left the anchor desks here as competitors a couple of years ago. We worked at opposite stations across the city of Austin for many, many years. And so we like to think that we were competitors, but we're now collaborators, working together.
And now we get to be called veteran journalists, and I love that term because really, when you're in the trenches of TV news, you really do feel like you're at war. So we hope today to give you some information that'll help you get your message across and really get your stories covered. This is an exchange, so we want to spend a lot of time hearing from you, get your questions answered. But first, our goal today is to kind of get your mindset changed about how to approach the media. Despite all the commercials that you might see and the promotions on television, most reporters are pretty nice people just trying to do their jobs on a daily basis. And there are certain do's and don'ts to getting media coverage for your business or product, or even becoming perhaps an expert or the go-to person in your community on a particular topic.
Do we have any reporters here today with us? Reporters?
Former?
Yeah, okay. So you know all the secrets already. That's good.
And Tanya is a former reporter.
Tanya is, yes. What about this? I want to see who's with us today. Raise your hand if you're part of a nonprofit. Nonprofit, okay.
What about just a corporation, for-profit business, okay?
And a very small, all you're entrepreneurs, a solo business.
Oh, wonderful.
Love that.
Yes.
Okay, just so we wanted to kind of see who our audience
is. Anybody here
today,
because they had time to kill before happy hour? Okay, just want to make sure.
Thanks for sticking with us for the last session of the day. All right, we're going to start by setting the stage of what a typical newsroom is like. A lot of you know, Judy mentioned reporters are really nice people. Well, I think a lot of people think of journalists as, they're either alien or people that don't want to talk to you.
Unapproachable.
They don't want to talk to you unless there's something bad to talk about or something like that. That's really not the case. But I want to show you what's sort of inside a newsroom. That's one of those unapproachable places as well. Mm-hmm. A newsroom today, whether it be a television newsroom, a radio station, print, newspaper, usually a very large room, no offices really, just a lot of cubbies. No walls, right? So everything's out there.
Everybody knows everybody's business.
There are probably, I don't know, 10 at least screens with every network television station on, plus the cables. And so we got a lot of activity there. You've got an assignment desk where the assignment managers are sitting, who are listening to police scanners still, and they are watching all of their four or five computer screens with
talking
Twitter,
on the phone, listening
Facebook.
To Chris calling in.
I mean, you've got a lot of activity, a lot of people, and just a lot of noise.
Yeah, and here's a little anecdote about a typical TV newsroom. Yeah.
Me?
Are you having trouble hearing? Here, I'm going to
hold the mic.
We're never allowed to do that live on TV. You know, we can't. Now the microphone has fallen off several times, or a fly's landed on our face.
I'm gonna need your help.
All right.
I can't turn it.
Technical difficulties. Stay tuned.
Well, you can go ahead and tell your anecdote.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little anecdote about the craziness of a TV newsroom.
And you tell me if it doesn't get any better. We'll try a different place. It may have been the necklace.
Yeah, I think you turned.
Right.
Okay. Quick little anecdote about how crazy TV newsrooms are. So one day we were doing the 5 o'clock newscast, which at that time was done in the newsroom. We're all getting ready for the 6 o'clock news, but we're doing a live broadcast, right? And a mouse runs across the floor. So of course, we tried not to scream loudly. It was more like, you know. And then I proceeded to crawl on top of my desk while I was on the phone, because I was scared, right? And I'm talking to the person on the phone, and the anchor is still doing the 5 o'clock news. And of course, afterwards, people are calling in, what's wrong with Judy Maggio? Is she okay? I saw her standing on the desk.
Yep.
We couldn't tell everybody there was a mouse in the room. By the way, the mouse survived, and it didn't get killed until like 3 days later when we put a trap in the break room.
Okay. But the chaos of the newsroom, mm-hmm. You kind of get the gist that way. And like all businesses today, journalists are really being asked to do more with less. Their workload growing every year. Back when we started, you may have gone out to cover one story during the day. Now it's two, three, sometimes even more. The issues could be vastly different as well. So handling all the details and the facts from all these different stories, you know, gets to be a little complicated. And then also getting your information out to people becomes more complicated, because you have not just one platform to do it on. You have to get it ready for broadcast. You have to get it on the website. You have to get the video on the website. And sometimes even you're partnering with a radio station. So there's more platforms to deal with. Journalists today coming out of school are really being asked to be multi-platform journalists. That's what we call, if you've heard of that before. You have to get out there and shoot your own stuff and
edit,
do a little bit
videos
of everything, mm-hmm. and edit all of your own work.
And some of us feel like the quality suffers because of that. But two things we want to drive home with all of you today. And I think what you came here for, to the keys to media coverage. One is the importance of relationships, and you all know that's true for just about any business. And secondly, knowing what sells and how to sell it. So I want to start with relationships. Attracting coverage from news releases or social media, I believe, and we've talked about this, all really boils down to who you know and what relationships you have. Most reporters actually relish those connections. They want sources. They want ways to find news stories. They want to beat the competition. So that's why newsrooms have beat systems. Certain reporters cover politics, education, health, and they get to know the people who are running those particular areas of expertise in their communities and develop relationships. They develop sources, and they turn to those sources for news and information for their story. So that trust is built. It's just like in every other business, trusted relationships make all the difference in the world.
They do. When I was covering health one time here at KXAN, when I was working here, I remember I would constantly be sending out emails and communicating with doctors and other medical professionals in the area. And they would send me things from time to time. And over time, you just get these relationships developed. You know who to trust, and you know who's going to be there to get you that info. And I got a call one day from a woman in an emergency room in South Austin. It was a doctor telling me, well, I've got this thing going on. We're seeing more and more of these cases of young people, primarily, coming in saying they've taken this K2 stuff or spice. Have you heard of that? Kind of like that manufactured
marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were one of the first in the market here to get on with that story just because that the emergency room physician had taken the time to develop that relationship with me to where when she called me, I took her call in the middle of the craziness of the day, and we ended up with a really good story because that person had taken the time to invest in that relationship.
That was probably one of the first stories locally on K2.
I think it was.
You beat the competition that way. Ways to establish relationships. One of the best ways, I think, is to research the reporters at a particular news entity. So find out who the best contact people are according to their beats. If you have a product that relates to education, or healthcare, or politics, or police activities, find out who that reporter is and pitch the reporter. Otherwise, all of that information is going to get lost in the shuffle of the newsroom and all the information that comes into a newsroom.
So how do you reach out to them? Well, you can do it in various ways. You're going to find the people, like you said, that Judy said, that you can connect to because of your message or your story. Make personal contact with them if you see them places. Now, if they're in the middle of covering breaking news live on television, you don't want to run up behind them.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean. But if they're at an event somewhere, go over, say hello. I'm so-and-so, and I work in this type of business, and you might be interested in it. Hand them a business card. Don't be afraid to approach reporters like that, because most reporters say, hey, you know, I'd like that. You never know what kind of story I'm going to get for that. Mm-hmm. That personal contact, a quick email to them just to introduce yourself, a phone call at the appropriate times, not 10 minutes before the newscast, and social media, a great way to introduce yourself to reporters and journalists today. Don't be afraid to message on Twitter or Facebook or somebody, a reporter, just to introduce yourself. Don't write a novel, but introduce yeah. yourself so that that reporter at least can find out who you are. And then I think appropriately too, don't over-introduce yourself.
Too much information.
Don't
Less
be
is
a
more.
Stalker.
Yeah.
Make sure you're getting information out there mm-hmm. enough just to say hello mm-hmm. and then move on with it until the next time presents itself for you to really suggest a story.
And we also want to let you in on a little secret of knowing what sells. Because I think people who aren't in TV or aren't in radio or newspaper don't really understand how we decide what stories we're going to cover. You have to spend time fine-tuning your message and zero in on the part of that story that is the most compelling, the most human, the most inspiring. We like to see stories that are humanized. We like to meet real people in our stories. And reporters also hate feeling like all they're doing is a commercial for a product, a free commercial. Those stories don't sell to the media. So find a way to humanize them. One story I can think of that I did recently was there was a dog rescue group that had kind of been asking me over and over again to do a story on their dog rescue group. And I was like, well, yeah, but there's a lot of dog rescue groups in Austin. It's an animal-loving town. He sent me a second news release about this wonderful program that they had that taught autistic children how to train dogs. And I said, can we shoot that? And they said, yeah, great. So we went and profiled these amazing kids who didn't have great verbal skills, but yet they were learning the process of training dogs, and then some of them even went on to be dog trainers as a profession. Now, that's a compelling, interesting story. Just doing a story about the fact that there's another rescue dog group in Austin really isn't that interesting for the average viewer.
Well, and that story, that was just a small part of their dog rescue group, right? That was a part of their story, but it was a part of their story that sold. Mm-hmm. And that got people's attention. And once you get their attention, then they found out about your organization, your business, and you got them, right? Mm-hmm. But all of the numbers about how many dogs they've rescued and blah, blah, all this stuff may just sort of fall right. on deaf ears. Okay, where are we?
Basics of the pitch.
Basics of the pitch. What's a pitch?
It's not this.
No. How do you actually pitch your story to a reporter after you've started making that relationship in some way? A couple of things to be aware of off the top. One is deadlines, and another is news cycles. Deadlines, I alluded to a little bit ago. There are deadlines that journalists have to follow. As anchor, I had to be on the set ready to go 10 minutes before the newscast.
Sometimes five.
Mike on.
Sometimes two.
They let her get away with that, and not me. But you wouldn't want to call me or text me at 5 minutes before the newscast to try to get my attention, because over time that's going to go, really? Do they not get it? than print reporters, of course. They've got deadlines to get things in the newspaper by the night before and get that in. Do a little research if you can. Talk to reporters, talk to people. Find out when the deadlines are for their stories and respect those and value those. And because I think over time that will help you get a leg up. The news cycle as well you need to think about when you're making a pitch. And that is, like in television, where we've been all these years, there's a morning newscast, there's usually a noon newscast or midday, then there's a 4, 5, perhaps a 6, a 9, a 10, and they can...
So basically it's not convenient to call any time of day.
But if you're trying to get a hold of a reporter that works in the 5 and 6 o'clock newscast in the evening, let's just break down the hours of like meetings. In a newsroom, there's usually an editorial meeting in the morning, sometime around 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. but in your mm-hmm. station as well. And then there's another one in the afternoon around 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty, I mean, the times may vary a little bit around that, but to call during the meeting is not going to be a good idea. To get a hold of a reporter in plenty of time before that meeting so that that reporter can mm-hmm. be interested in your story and then take that story to that meeting is a good idea.
We're always searching. Like, we both work the night shift, and we were all expected to come to the afternoon meeting at 2 o'clock with a story idea. Guess what? Sometimes I didn't have a story idea. I was really happy to get a phone call at 1:30 from someone saying, hey, guess what's happening tonight? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, I'm so glad you called because I don't have anything for the afternoon meeting. Also, be aware of current events and offer up experts. This is a great way to get news coverage. I'll give you an example. There's a flu epidemic. We're heading into flu season, and you represent a doctor or perhaps a product that deals with the flu. Let the local media outlets know that you have a camera-ready doctor or expert who can give helpful tips on ways to avoid the flu. We have a local lawyer here who used to be a shuttle engineer, and he is famous for suing the airlines. I met his, and he's won many, many cases because he knows law and he knows how the shuttles are built and how aeronautics work. So I met his marketing person at a seminar one time, and she goes, if you ever need an expert on aviation law, I went, I'm going to need that. Guess what? You know, when that guy flew his plane into the IRS building, an angry taxpayer, I was searching for that card so I could call the aviation expert and talk to him about, you know, what type of plane this was and was it a miracle that more people weren't hurt and those types of questions. So you just never know when you're going to be able to get your foot in the door and get your message out to the media.
And it may not be that day or that next day or that next day when you make that pitch, but again, back to that good old relationship and establishing that relationship. And Judy stressed this, but I like to stress it again. If you are making a pitch, try your best to be flexible and have an expert ready to go. There's nothing more annoying than having someone knock down your door for weeks trying to get a story on the air, and then another week or two goes by, and you really need that person's help with something, and you call and they're like, I'll see, I am available next Tuesday. But those news cycles continue to roll.
Every single day.
And the next beast has to be fed, whether it is a morning show or an afternoon show. And so we're constantly looking for those experts to continually to make our content even a little bit more richer.
And also, you know, we were talking about ways to make the pitch. It's not always inappropriate to call a newsroom. You just need to know when those deadlines are. Also, don't ever call during breaking news. For example, during these terrible fires out in Bastrop, this deja vu situation. I mean, everybody's throwing every crew at it because you don't know if it's going to develop into another tragedy like the Bastrop fires from 2013. So it's always a good idea to, once again, keep aware of current events, know those deadlines. It's rarely a good idea to call unless your reporter is a friend, or you've made a relationship, you've established a relationship with that reporter. You may even want to do something like email that person and say, hey, I wanted to circle back and talk to you about XYZ. When would be a good time to chat about that particular issue? News releases.
Has anybody in here written a news release before?
Oh boy, no wonder you're here. Well, I want you to open your mind about what is really a written pitch. A news release is a written pitch.
Because it's changed over the years, dramatically.
And only about a third of the stories that a typical newsroom covers comes from a news release. we mentioned the pile of emails. A typical assignments editor gets hundreds of emails every day. As anchors, we'd get 50 to 100 emails every day, many of them pitching stories. You don't have time to go through them all. So I would always look at the first couple of lines. I would see if it affected something locally. And if it didn't grab my attention, it wasn't a local issue, I'd hit the delete button. I didn't have time to do anything else.
Do you remember the fax machines?
Oh, yeah.
I just had a flashback.
Fax
Do you remember the fax machines?
And teletype machines.
And we would have these stacks of news releases just piling up on the fax machine. Mm-hmm. And it got so large to where somebody from the assignment desk would just go over there and go, look at the top one, and the whole thing would just go away.
So really, things haven't changed that much.
They really haven't,
just the way we receive things has changed.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No. And then there are really two types of news releases. Let's go through those quickly. Short and sweet. This would go out to those people you already have a relationship with. Hi, Jane, just want to check back in with you and let you know we're still having that event, and given the bullet points, who, what, when, where, how, you know, why they would want, why would we want to cover it? Give them a reason to cover it. And then those long, full-page printed ones would be more for digital media, print media. These are folks who may be writing a small-town newspaper. They may be writing their entire story from your news release. It's also important to share those personal stories that we mentioned, humanize your story, provide contact information, addresses, and hyperlinks. My husband is VP of communications at Meals on Wheels here, and so he writes a lot of news releases. And I recently said, give me an example of a good news release. We're going to be doing this presentation. And he goes, well, here's one I just wrote. And it was about, you know, 90-year-old John Doe, a World War II veteran, who says Meals on Wheels allows him to keep living independently in his own home. I was like, okay, that's a visual story. That's something I can relate to. Here's a World War II veteran, and because he gets Meals on Wheels delivered, he can stay independent. That's a good story. So you just got to remember that when you pitch these stories, they need to have a personal element in them and make good quality pictures and video readily available. When he pitched that story, he made sure that Mr. Doe was ready to talk to a reporter, that we could get video at his house. All of those things are very important. Also, you could send video, you could send pictures, because we all have websites, we all have digital presence now. So those types of elements are important to telling your story.
And make it easier for the reporter.
It does in the long run, because we don't like to say make a reporter's job easier, but when that reporter is being asked to cover 2 to 3, sometimes 4 stories a day, if someone can give me a link to some video that I can automatically look at and see if that is great video, and that makes it a little bit easier, you're more likely to get your story on the
air.
Right. Because that little bit has been done. And I'll just also stress this pitch. A news release is different than a plain, short, and brief pitch sometimes. If you can just give me, here's a few reasons I think you might want to cover this story. Bam, 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 bam. And it's a lot easier than reading through about 3 or 4 paragraphs and then getting to the who, what, why, where, and all that at the bottom.
Put it up top.
So don't worry about just giving bullet points. The world, the overload of information that we have today, they don't have to be always these long news releases. We're going to talk a little bit about social media, and then we are going to get to questions, because that's what this is supposed to be, an exchange, right? So we wanted to just sort of get some of this out there. These are some of the things that Judy and I brainstormed before as we were preparing for this. Consider your audience when you're thinking about social media and using it as a story generator. If you, as a business, you probably have already figured out what your brand is, and you know what your who your audience is. So, who would you be trying to reach as a business? Would you use, if your audience is, you know, 12 to 18 year olds, you might be jumping on Instagram and Snapchat and everything else to try to reach those people. If your audience is somebody, so in other words, this, you always analyze your audience. In this way, analyze your reporter as an audience.
Sure.
As your audience is a reporter. Most of the time, in my experience in news, and I think yours too, reporters really rely on Twitter. What do you think, Tanya? Twitter.
Yeah, we like Twitter. It's easy, it's fast,
it's
you can
concise.
Find the information, and stories break on Twitter.
And you think it's sort of like a play-by-play. It's my play-by-play. A reporter will cover a trial in a courtroom, and you can just follow that one reporter and know exactly what's happening. Just like a football game, you know exactly what's happening. It's that play-by-play. So that is a good place to make a relationship with a reporter and then to actually pitch stories that way, because a reporter is monitoring that Twitter account all the time. Here's just some thoughts to throw out there. You might want to retweet or share a reporter's story and comment, especially if it's related to your field. It doesn't have to be a story about your business. It could be something that reporter did that relates to what you do in some way. and you may just want to make a comment about it. Now, I would not advise you totally criticize the story, but make a
comment,
unless it was factually wrong, but you need to maybe add some additional information, give another point of view, think about, but retweet it, right? Or reply and then retweet it, include the reporter's name, because you know reporters love themselves, and they love to see their work being praised in the public. Okay, monitor hashtags on Twitter or other places as well. Know all the hashtags out there that are related to your field of what you're trying to get out there. And every once in a while, just get on there and search that hashtag and see what's being generated out there in the journalistic world, so you can kind of start targeting those reporters that are writing things and reporting things about things you're interested in. Watch for requests that a reporter has. As a reporter, I don't know how many times you do this, but so many times it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have a story that was just handed to me for 5, and they say, go find me someone who has
it's
a child
bankrupt.
With a 5-year-old, you know, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old.
Very specific person we're supposed to profile.
It's crazy, and they want a story on it. And the first place you're going to go is Twitter or Facebook, and you're going to put it out there. Yeah. Does anybody know anybody who has this, and this? And lo and behold, you will find people like that out there. So watch what reporters are requesting as you're following them, because you should be following them.
And sometimes it's on the station's website. I know sometimes, and usually TV stations and radio stations and newspapers have large followings on their website, so you might see those on a website. Hey, does anybody know a doctor who specializes in oncology? Jimmy Carter just got diagnosed with cancer. We need somebody.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that stuff, because that may be a way for you to get the person that you want on TV some coverage.
And even if you aren't the expert that's perfect for that request, maybe you know somebody who is, and you can connect that reporter to a friend of yours who is a doctor of oncology, an oncologist or something, so that way that reporter's going, gee, thanks, I'm going to remember you next time. Let's see, send them story ideas in their specific areas. We talked about that, like the beat areas, and follow-up ideas as well. If you see a story on television that a reporter did, you don't have to say, well, my company does that, we do it in a different way. Here it is. Follow up the story. In other words, today's story might be, well, it's hard to think of examples, whatever the story is today, tomorrow and the next day, it may be a follow-up story, something that adds content and depth to this subject matter.
Well, like the Bastrop fires, for example,
right.
We followed that story all the way along, and then there was a Bastrop recovery team, and we got publicity for them and raised money for them, but those relationships were established at the fire. So then you just keep following up and following, oh, let's profile the Smiths who just rebuilt their house that was destroyed by the fire. So those are kind of the ways that you just continue the story on and on.
And not be afraid to message them on social media too, as we mentioned before. Send them a story idea that way. It doesn't have to just be just out there in the world of Twitter. Private message them if they take messages. This is something we talk about a lot in the broadcast news industry, and that is adding value to your posts, whether it be on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Photos, video, you never want to just write something. Try to think of a picture or some video or something that's going to help tell your story. Add that to your post. Graphics, any links to some more information, stats. Process language. Process language means you're writing things as you're doing it. We just are about to hold this fantastic event to benefit victims of domestic violence. And you're sending a photo that has maybe some volunteers working to gather the supplies or whatever's going on, but you're telling the reporter about that, or the public about that, for that matter, as the action is getting ready to happen. And so that process language is something that kind of keeps someone interested in what's happening next. What are they going to do next? Oh, they're almost ready for that. And the reporter might want to go, okay, hey, look, this is going on over there. Let's go cover it.
Well, the other thing I think we really want to stress is that you all know your business. You know the intricacies of how you work and what you're doing. You know the numbers, you know the lingo. But that doesn't always translate so well in the news business, into the storytelling world. So I would advise you to take kind of a bird's eye view, outsider's view of your business or your nonprofit, or your expert that you want to promote, and zero in on that compelling, inspiring part of the story. Journalists are always looking for news pegs. We cannot stress that enough. And a story that makes a person think after seeing it, or touches their heart, or gives them information they can use in their everyday life. That's what we're looking for, whether it affects your family budget, or your heart, or your home, or your kids, or your husband. I mean, those are things, we're all human beings, and we find connections with other human beings. Think about that when you're trying to sell your story, and don't use the lingo of your particular world. You would know what I was talking about if I was talking about BOSOTs and packages. Those are the way we talk. Yeah, it's the way we describe stories in TV. So stay away from that and think of your particular story as an outsider looking in. What would make your neighbor interested in whatever you want to pitch to a TV station, a radio station, or online?
And don't use too many numbers.
No.
I say this too.
No.
I mean,
we don't understand
so
numbers.
Proud of the fact
we're English
that you
majors.
We don't do math. But you may be so proud that you have raised, that your business raised this, and this many cents, and over this many years, and you've helped this many victims, and you've had that. And at some point, you're like, number overload, because people can't process all that in a good way. So think about that when you do as well. It's what, Judy, you know, listening to all the women here today and the speakers, it kind of comes down to, you know, you're passionate about something. You know what you're passionate about, and you get into everything about that. But you've got to kind of pick through that and find out what really might sell, what one small part might sell.
What nugget.
That's really going to attract mm-hmm. attention of some reporter, and then that will start you on a way of getting your business or your nonprofit or your cause a little bit more seen. Think of it in summing up like an elevator pitch. Mm-hmm. How many of you have worked on your elevator pitch before you came to the conference? See? You know.
Probably given your elevator pitch several times today, right?
And that's fine. But think of pitching a reporter in the same way. Mm-hmm. You might not use the same lingo as if you were pitching it to someone in your same industry or field, because a reporter might not get it all. But think of these four things. Start strong. As you mentioned, content that grabs that attention. Give me a reason to care off the top. Compelling, inspiring. Two, tell what you do and not what you are.
Say that again.
Tell what you do, not what you are.
It's important.
Because as a reporter, you know, there's so many experts on everything out there that want to tell me what they are and what degrees they have. Tell me what you do. Three, keep it conversational. Be human when you're talking to, especially a reporter. We may not get all the numbers all the mm-hmm. time, but keep it conversational. And four, don't forget the why. Don't forget why you do what you do. There comes that passion and that purpose. A reporter, if they're a good one, they're going to get that. They're going to connect with someone who really knows how to sell why they do what they do. And that'll be a good seed to plant to establish that relationship and ultimately get story coverage.
And I think if you are enthusiastic and passionate and energetic and knowledgeable about what it is you're trying to get across, that will eventually attract the reports that you want, the stories you want to be told about your company.
Okay, we're ready for questions.
We have
now.
Some time to take some questions. Please don't make them too hard.
Don't let them involve numbers.
Yeah, not too
but
many.
We're willing to talk about anything about
and you
TV.
Can just talk. There's not too many people. If you want to go to a mic, fine. But
yeah, you can just
you
stand
like
up.
To, if you want to talk in a microphone. Okay, that's good.
Boring?
Yeah, sure, right. So is that still the...
No, I think that may be mistaken for keeping it simple. I mean, it is supposed to be simple, but you still want to have something dramatic or something compelling or something interesting. I mean, if you just put press conference, City Hall, 9:30, Mayor will be there talking about homelessness. You know, nobody's going to cover that.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, that part.
You're not
sense.
Writing an article for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, right. But give them a nugget that's interesting.
Some reporters may just copy and paste it as an article. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, and if you're sending it to the Elgin Courier or some small town newspaper that doesn't have a lot of staff, that may they might appreciate that additional storytelling and information. Just once again, you got to know your audience. Depends on who you send it to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who else has a question?
Or in stature. Or in stature, you're not short. How to do it. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I would never write a news release that's more than a half a page. I just don't think that for websites, for TV newsrooms, for radio newsrooms. Now, maybe a newspaper or something like the Texas Tribune, they might want more details. What do you think?
Well, I think, again, if you can establish a relationship with a reporter, if I have a relationship with someone out there, I'm going to immediately see who that person is. I'm going to open that up, and I'm going to already know a little bit about what that person does. Mm-hmm. I like a news release that just tells me, hey, Leslie, I remember our conversation about this, or remember me, I met you at that event last week. I've got this going on. Here are a couple of reasons you might really love this story, or why this story might really be good for your audience. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, I know that's really short, and I don't think you can put all that on a tweet. Again, that has to be used sort of to establish the relationships and continue to do that. You might be able to put a link to something on Twitter and then tweet it to, you know, out, and then send it on message to the reporter.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think half a page is really about it, that.
And you know, I mean, public relations folks, the rich ones are the ones that have established those relationships and stay in the same city, and then time after time, people try, oh, this is from, for example, in Austin. Oh, this is from Elizabeth Christian and Associates. It must be something important because it comes from that PR firm. I mean, it's just a mindset, unfortunately or fortunately, but reputations do come into play in some of these things,
sure,
too.
And I've had people get in touch with me before who have done their research on my bio, either on my station's website or something else, and they get me at the beginning. Hey, I saw you had a son who, you know, la, 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 la. And they get my interest, not just because they're finding out information about me, but trying to make that relevant to some part of the story.
When I had the dog pitch, someone said, oh, I see on your bio that you have a rescue dog named Duncan.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, know your audience. Yeah,
or just follow up.
Yeah, follow up.
You might want to send the short one out first, and then, you know, here, or even put a link at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, more information can be found here, and that way, if they want to, they can go to that longer one and get a little bit more info. But just the actual, like Tiffany mentioned, just the overload, everything that's out there, the brevity factor. If you look at something that's, some people just won't even take the time to look at it.
We're all trying to do more with less, and everybody's time, especially in newsrooms today, is getting more limited and more limited and more limited. I mean, when you have to get three stories on the newscast at night, you don't have a lot of time to read news releases or even, you know, sometimes research stories. You have to, like, beg the news director for time. I really want to do an in-depth story on affordability in Austin. I need 2 days to research. What?
Yeah.
You know, you think that, and back in the old days, we'd get like weeks to research things, but it's just, we don't have that luxury anymore.
No. Okay. Oh. Did you ever have that?
No, I never, I'm sorry, but I never worried about viruses. It's just, I just didn't want to open it because I knew it was going to be long. I didn't want to read it.
I just never thought about it.
I mean, true confessions here. But yes, I mean, if it's an information.
She doesn't know what a virus is.
I do not know what a virus is.
The virus is like the flu,
right? It is. You can take antibiotics for it.
Anyway, I think it depends on the person. But yeah, I'd do the meat
the little nuggets up top, and then you can do an attachment. Not all reporters are as shallow as I am.
but you raise a good point, because I never thought about that.
Yeah,
because sometimes they may not want to. I mean, I'm not as tech savvy as others. So. Somebody had a question in the back. Yes.
You are, number one. Don't send it to, you can send it to Simon Seth, but follow up. If you think it's a Good Morning Show story, then you need to find the executive producer of that morning show.
Or a reporter.
Or a reporter on the morning
show. Who is consistently on that morning show and develop that relationship.
Oh, anchors are so silly and stupid. You don't want to.
No. I think you could double team them.
Yeah, and I think, truly, I was kidding. Anchors also are like managing editors. I mean, my title was managing editor in our newsroom. And so they do have, they speak with a megaphone a little bit more than maybe some of the reporters. So if you do have some connection to an anchor, like people would call me or email me and say, hey, I know you're a friend of Sally's, and I've got this great story that I think is important. And then I pitch it at the afternoon meeting. And it does carry just a little bit more weight, I think, than sometimes when the reporters pitch, just because, you know, it's one of those hierarchy things. It's silly because everybody has an equal voice in a newsroom, but it's just perception-wise. So it wouldn't hurt to send something to the anchor and the reporter.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think both would be great if you can make those relationships, mm-hmm. because a lot of times, coming from two of us in mm-hmm. the newsroom, mm-hmm. it would even mm-hmm. be right. heard more loudly, perhaps. And I guess my question for you is, what are your visuals? If you're trying to get into television and all that stuff, do you have those visuals planned out, know what?
Good. It might not actually hurt to go by the newsrooms and just kind of introduce yourself, you know? Yeah, I think that would really help, because then they have that human connection again, the face. Oh, that's so-and-so. She works for blank agency, and I met her. And that always helps.
You could set up a meeting with them, schedule a meeting, perhaps. I mean, it may be a little hard to get through sometimes.
But not during a fire situation or any breaking news.
Take cookies.
Yeah.
Oh. No, shouldn't say that.
No, seriously, that is one of those newsroom secrets. It's probably true of any business, but reporters love food. We love food. If you send something attached to some cookies, it's going to get a little more attention. Don't you think? We do. We like food. Sorry. It's just,
yeah, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah, beer and wine.
Yeah, that was.
Well, unfortunately, that's not allowed in the newsroom, but.
You have a question. Oh, sorry.
Well, I just wanted to ask. So I have an M profile on Twitter that I use a lot, but I also manage our nonprofit Twitter as well. And so when reaching out to reporters, should I be approaching it as a nonprofit or as an individual who like build that relationship to bring in the nonprofit?
Can you do both? Can you try both?
I could do both.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a preference on either or there was not upon that I'm reaching out on behalf of an organization to a personal.
I don't think there's. I don't think it really matters.
I don't think there's a preference.
I think
there.
That comes down to more of what you prefer. I mean, if you use your personal Twitter account for things versus, crazy life you lead. No, seriously, I don't think it really matters. As long as, I think sometimes it helps to put a face to a name. So a lot of times if you have an organization and you just got this, logo versus a picture of who you are.
I do
and
think. It goes back to going to introduce yourself. It's kind of a social media version of that. Sometimes, it's the face. I relate to the face more than I do the logo. Yeah. Yes, I know. My husband works for a nonprofit, and I know it's frustrating sometimes to try to get your and there's so many great nonprofits in Austin. I know not all of you may be from Austin, but oh my gosh, there's like 5,000 nonprofits in Austin and 6,000. Thank you, Sharon. 6,000. So I mean, how do you get your message out when you're competing against 5,999 other nonprofits?
But so many these nonprofits have great stories.
They do,
and that's what's
actually easier about covering a nonprofit than a business, because a business will send you an email or call you and say, we're going to have a groundbreaking for a new store. We're going to have shovels and a ribbon to cut and everything. And as a reporter, you're like, that's not going to do it. We used to laugh. We used to call it a puppet show. We used to go, oh, we're going to go cover another puppet show.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a story behind there. You've got to have that personal story. And especially in today's world, those are the only things that stand out.
I'll give you an example. I'm on the board of Indy Community Homelessness Coalition. And so they obviously got me on the board so I could help with media. So there was this big event. They had to have a big event with the mayor to talk about this great new effort where they're going to house all the homeless veterans in Austin by Veterans Day. And they said, so how should we do that? So we thought we'd get the mayor at City Hall. And I said, mm-mm. And they said, well, people always will cover the mayor. And I said, well, we'll get Senator Kirk Watson. Well, that's fine, but they're not going to cover it because Kirk Watson and the mayor are there. And I said, you need to go introduce us to a veteran. So what we did was we set up a news conference in front of a veteran's house, who had been housed through this particular program. He was there with his kids and his wife. And after the news conference with the mayor and Senator Kirk Watson, the reporters were able to go meet this family in this house, this duplex that they got through this program. And they were living in their car a month ago, and now they have a roof over their heads. That's the difference between a boring news event and one that people can really relate to.
And I'll bring up one other thing that I thought of. In today's overcrowded news world, sometimes setting up an event may not be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Establishing that relationship and targeting that one news organization, whether it be whatever it is, or reporter who you really think will handle your story the best, and pitch it to that reporter as his or her story.
Yeah.
And that provides that ownership. So as a reporter, you're going to an event with every other station or every other in the market, and you know you're going to get the same visuals because they set them up there. But if you can tell me
that
they called me and want me to go do that story on them, you know, that just makes a reporter feel. That's just the way we are.
And in fact,
so,
go ahead.
As I was just going to say, so that might get you a better way of getting that coverage, of singling out someone who you really think would sell your message.
That's so true, because what happened with this particular event, it was too successful. In other words, we worked so hard to get every TV station in town there to cover this event that everybody had the same compelling story about the wonderful veteran who had, and nobody ran it at 10 o'clock. Everybody just ran it at 6.
Competition.
Because you know, the other guys had that story. We're not going to run it at 10 o'clock. So I got a call from the executive director, why weren't we on the 10 o'clock news? And I said, you're a victim of your own success. You had all the TV stations there, but that's why you had all the TV stations there. That's why you wanted
to. Right. And if you do have a story that you think will sell to a 5 o'clock news audience in the afternoon, then try to find a reporter who works on that 5 o'clock news. You know, and because in today's world, a lot of times those stories will only run one time.
And newscasts have different audiences in different formats. So you were great to say, you know, I think our agency would do well being on a morning show. You know, the 10 o'clock's more national news and kind of a rehash of the day. 6 o'clock tends to be more local, and 5 o'clock tends to be a combination of both of those things. You've had a question for a while.
Okay, would I see something on Facebook and consider as a reporter that other people know about it so I'm not going to get the scoop on it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I wouldn't necessarily.
I would if I thought I could tell that story in a way that somebody hasn't told it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially if it's just a tweet and nobody's visualized that yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. I think I'd
do it.
We would still do it, I would think.
I think so.
We monitor Twitter for story all the time, and that's where stories break now. It used to be that we would be watching three big TVs for the three networks in our newsrooms. Now, if you beat your competition on Twitter, you get kudos. You beat the competition. But that doesn't mean that somebody else isn't going to cover it.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
and see it.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and that's exactly right. People call, and that's the other point we haven't made today. Yes, it's not a good time to call most of the time newsroom, but if there's something that's very compelling and it needs the information, needs to get to that reporter right now, call them. That's a whole different ballgame.
But hopefully you've already established a relationship and you have that reporter's cell phone number.
Yeah.
If you do, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Yes, I know. She wants to know the most annoying pitches. For me, the most annoying thing is when people won't take no for an answer. You know, when they just keep on the same thing, but you don't understand. I said, look, I do understand. It's just not a story that we're interested in today. And then they'll call somebody else in the newsroom and ask the same thing, and then they're just relentless. And that's a pet peeve of mine. It's like, if you say no, not today, we're not covering that story, kind of accept that.
And I think, yeah, people get known in the news, in the news world, yes. Certain PIOs, public information officers, or other people, they get known as those people who won't give
badger.
Up or won't, or who think the only way to tell the story is the way they think the story ought to be told all the time.
Yeah.
And thoughts. And I don't know. I'm annoying. I think back to those ribbon cuttings and things. I mean, that's just something general, but I mean, I don't know how many times people have called me about a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a great economic story that someone's opening a new business, but let's do it in a little different way.
I'll tell you another pet peeve is when people send news releases and they go, and they have researched you and they said, hi, Judy, how are you and Thad doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I think, who's this? And then I realize it's some national PR company who's researched me, looked at my bio, found out what my husband's name is, and got my attention because I think it's a personal friend. That bugs me. It makes me a little creeped out, you know? Yes. We have a few more minutes here. We'll help you. Let me tell you, the deal is that this is a very small business. And we know people in just about, between the two of us, we probably know people in every major market in the country and at the network. Because it just is that way.
Right.
People go from market to market.
Yeah.
So we'll help you.
But again, if you know a reporter here, you know all the reporters in Austin, right? Okay, so reach out to them because they're going to have that connection up there one way or the other.
This is a pay-for-play show for those of you guys.
No.
I'll let her answer that. She used to work for KXAN.
The answer is no.
No.
Unless, that's not a newscast, right? That's a paid thing that you guys do on 512, correct? So, I don't know what your deal is with them. I mean, that would be my only question. Is there any legal deal that the sponsorship that you all signed that limited your ability to go elsewhere?
But if you have a relationship with a TV station, that's great, but it's not exclusive. Typically, it's not exclusive. I remember one time I wanted to use Evan Smith as an expert on something, and I knew that the Tribune had a relationship with KXAN, maybe?
Yes.
And I was at KI at the time, and I went, Evan, I really want your comment on this. Could you? He goes, sure. Okay. But I thought the same thing. I thought, well, I didn't know what kind of a legal arrangement they had, but it was fine. Most of the time, there isn't a legal arrangement. It's just some kind of
the managers may tell you there is.
Yeah, but it's more of a partnership.
Really not. He had a question.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. How up to date?
She's asking about the Texas Media Directory, and it's a subscription service with all of the basically information
reporters
about
names,
all the
producers' names.
And how effective is that in getting the information out? Well, I guess it's some way effective, but
it
to keep it up to date, it's very hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because
I'm not familiar with that particular one, but if it has that list, the producers and the reporters in particular areas, then it's helpful because that way you know who to target for your particular nonprofit.
Yeah. Oh, last question.
Yes. Yeah, everything's pushed aside. Yeah. Wall to wall coverage.
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Yeah. Has the story been covered already and then just bumped? Okay, because I was going to say, most of the time when that happens, we save it for a slow news day and say, oh, remember that story we did on the Bastrop Fire Day? Let's put that on the 6 o'clock.
Is it evergreen? Is it something that can run any day, or is it a timely story that missed its boat?
You know, that's the thing. Sometimes it's a timely story, and other times it's semi-evergreen.
Yeah, the semi-evergreen would have a much better chance, because if it's a story that happened that day and you miss out because of breaking news, it probably will not air. It could air like on the morning show maybe the next day or something, like for 10 o'clock, but a breaking news event happened and got bumped. It might air on that morning show or something like that.
You want to call that? You might want to try to call somebody directly instead of relying on the morning show, because the morning show in a television newsroom, they come in at 11 or 12 at night, and they may not even realize that that story was available and didn't get run. And so you might want to make a contact with that or just remind the reporter or producer the next time, hey, remember we missed that last time. I sure hope we can get it done this time.
I think we're running out of time, but one thing I want to leave you with today is don't be intimidated by news people. I think that people sometimes are frightened or afraid or worried about contacting the press because they're evil and they're going to twist their words. And I worked in TV for 32 years, and I can honestly say for the most part, as we started out by telling you, we're pretty nice people and we're really open to fun ideas and interesting ideas and good stories to tell, compelling stories to tell. So don't be afraid to share your story. That's how it all starts, is making that relationship, getting yourself out there. We've talked a lot today about getting out of your comfort zone. Try it. You can only just not be covered, but then maybe next time it will be.
That's true. Thank you all so much.
Thank you all for coming.